The Metaphysical Poets, first published in 1957, edited by Helen Gardner. Sir Walter Raleigh, 1552 to 1618. The Passionate Man's Pilgrimage, supposed to be written by one at the point of death. Give me my scallop shell of quiet, my staff of faith to walk upon, my scrip of joy, immortal diet, my bottle of salvation, my gown of glory, hope's true gauge, and thus I'll take my pilgrimage. Blood must be my body's balmer, no other balm will there be given, whilst my soul, like a white palmer, travels to the land of heaven, over the silver mountains, where spring the nectar fountains, and there I'll kiss the bowl of bliss, and drink my eternal fill on every milken hill. My soul will be a dry before, but after it will ne'er thirst more. And by the happy, blissful way, more peaceful pilgrims I shall see, that have shook off their gowns of clay, and go apparelled fresh like me. I'll bring them first to slake their thirst, and then to taste those nectar suckets. At the clear wells where sweetness dwells, drawn up by saints in crystal buckets, and when our bottles and all we are filled with immortality, then the holy paths we'll travel, strewed with rubies thick as gravel, ceilings of diamonds, sapphire floors, high walls of coral and pearl bowers. From thence to heaven's bribeless hall, where no corrupted voices brawl, no conscience molten into gold, nor forged accusers bought and sold, no cause deferred, nor vain spent journey, for there Christ is the King's attorney, who pleads for all without degrees, and he hath angels but no fees. When the grand 12 million jury of our sins with sinful fury gainst our souls black verdicts give, Christ pleads his death, and then we live. Be thou my speaker, taintless pleader, unblotted lawyer, true proceeder. Thou movest salvation even for alms, not with a bribed lawyer's palms. And this is my eternal plea to him that made heaven, earth, and sea, seeing my flesh must die so soon, and want a head to dine next noon, just at the stroke when my veins start and spread, set on my soul an everlasting head, then am I ready, like a palmer fit, to tread those blessed paths which before I writ. What is our life? What is our life? A play of passion, our mirth, the music of division, our mother's wombs, the tiring houses be, where we are dressed for this short comedy. Heaven, the judicious, sharp spectator is, that sits and marks still who doth act amiss. Our graves that hide us from the searching sun are like drawn curtains when the play is done. Thus march we playing to our latest rest. Only we die in earnest, that's no jest. Fulke Greville, Lord Brooke, 1554 to 1628. Sonnets from Caelica. Sonnet 87. When as man's life, the light of human lust, in socket of his earthly lanthorn burns, that all this glory unto ashes must, and generation to corruption turns, then fond desires that only fear their end, do vainly wish for life but to amend. But when this life is from the body fled, to see itself in that eternal glass, where time doth end and thoughts accuse the dead, where all to come is one with all that was, then living men ask how he thought he left his breath, that while he lived, never thought of death. Sonnet 88. Man, dream no more of curious mysteries, as what was here before the world was made, the first man's life, the state of paradise, where heaven is, or hell's eternal shade. For God's works are like him, all infinite, and curious search, but crafty sin's delight. The flood that did, and dreadful fire that shall, drown and burn up the malice of the earth, the diverse tongues and Babylon's downfall, are nothing to the man's renewed birth. First let the law plough up thy wicked heart, that Christ may come and all these types depart. When thou hast swept the house, that all is clear, when thou the dust hast shaken from thy feet, when God's all might doth in thy flesh appear, then seas with streams above the sky do meet. For goodness only doth God comprehend, knows what was first, and what shall be the end. Chorus Sacerdotum. O wearisome condition of humanity, born under one law to another bound, vainly begot, and yet forbidden vanity, created sick, commanded to be sound. What meaneth nature by these diverse laws? Passion and reason, self-division cause. Is it the mark or majesty of power to make offences that it may forgive? Nature herself doth her own self deflower, to hate those errors she herself doth give. For how should man think that he may not do, if nature did not fail and punish too? Tyrant to others, to herself unjust, only commands things difficult and hard, forbids us all things which it knows is lust, makes easy pains, impossible reward. If nature did not take delight in blood, she would have made more easy ways to good. We that are bound by vows and by promotion, with pomp of holy sacrifice and rites, to teach belief in good and still devotion, to preach of heaven's wonders and delights, yet when each of us in our own heart looks, he finds the God there, far unlike his books. Robert Southwell, 1561 to 1595. Mary Magdalene's complaint at Christ's death. Sith my love from life is parted, death come take thy portion. Who survives when life is murdered, lives by mere extortion? All that live, and not in God, couch their life in death's abode. Seely stars must needs leave shining, when the sun is shadowed. Borrowed streams refrain their running, when head springs are hindered. One that lives by others' breath, dieth also by his death. O true life, since thou hast left me, mortal life is tedious. Death it is to live without thee, death of all most odious. Turn again, or take me to thee, let me die, or live thou in me. Where the truth once was and is not, shadows are but vanity, showing want that help they cannot, signs not salves of misery. Painted meat no hunger feeds, dying life each death exceeds. With my love my life was nestled in the sum of happiness. From my love my life is wrested to a world of heaviness. Oh, let love my life remove, sith I live not where I love. O my soul, what did unloose thee from my sweet captivity? God, not I, did still possess thee, his, not mine, thy liberty. O too happy thrall thou wert when thy prison was his heart. Spiteful spear that breakst this prison, seat of all felicity, working this with double treason, love's and life's delivery. Though my life thou drovest away, morg thee my love shall stay. Printed 1595. The Burning Babe. As I in hoary winter's night stood shivering in the snow, surprised I was with sodden heat, which made my heart to glow, and lifting up a fearful eye to view what fire was near, a pretty babe all burning bright did in the air appear, who scorched with excessive heat, such floods of tears did shed, as though his floods should quench his flames, which with his tears were bred. Alas, quoth he, but newly born, in fiery heats I fry, yet none approach to warm their hearts or feel my fire but I. My faultless breast the furnace is, the fuel wounding thorns. Love is the fire, and sighs the smoke, the ashes, shame, and scorns. The fuel justice layeth on, and mercy blows the coals. The metal in this furnace wrought are men's defiled souls, for which, as now on fire I am to work them to their good, so will I melt into a bath to wash them in my blood. With this he vanished out of sight, and swiftly shrunk away, and straight I called unto mind that it was Christmas Day. New heaven, new war. Come to your heaven, you heavenly choirs. Earth hast the heaven of your desires. Remove your dwelling to your God. A stall is now his best abode. Sith men their homage do deny, come angels all their fault supply. His chilling cold doth heat require, come seraphims in lieu of fire. This little ark no cover hath, let cherubs' wings his body swath. Come Raphael, this babe must eat, provide our little Toby meat. Let Gabriel be now his groom, that first took up his earthly room. Let Michael stand in his defence, whom love hath linked to feeble sense. Let graces rock when he doth cry, let angels sing his lullaby. The same you saw in heavenly seat is he that now sucks Mary's teat. Agnize your king a mortal wight, his borrowed weed lets not your sight. Come kiss the manger where he lies, that is your bliss above the skies. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, though he himself for cold does shake. For in this weak, unarmored wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. With tears he fights and wins the field, with naked breast stands for a shield. His battering shot are babish cries, his arrows looks of weeping eyes, his martial ensigns cold and need, and feeble flesh his warrior's steed. His camp is pitched in a stall, his bulwark but a broken wall, the crib his trench, haystalks his stakes, of shepherds he his muster makes, and thus as sure his foe to wound, the angel's trump's alarum sound. My soul with Christ join thou in fight, stick to the tents that he hath dight, within his crib is surest ward, this little babe will be thy guard. If thou wilt foil thy foes with joy, then flit not from the heavenly boy. 1602. William Shakespeare, 1564-1616. The Phoenix and the Turtle. Let the bird of loudest lay on the sole Arabian tree, herald sad and trumpet be, to whose sound chaste wings obey. But thou shrieking harbinger, foul precurer of the fiend, augur of the fever's end, to this troop come thou not near. From this session interdict every fowl of tyrant wing, save the eagle-feathered king, keep the obsequy so strict. Let the priest in serples white, that defunctive music can, be the death-divining swan, lest the requiem lack his right. And thou treble-dated crow, that thy sable gender makest, with the breath thou givest and takest, mongst our mourners shalt thou go. Here the anthem doth commence, love and constancy is dead, phoenix and the turtle fled, in a mutual flame from hence. So they loved as love in twain, had the essence but in one, two distincts, division none, number there in love was slain. Hearts remote, yet not asunder, distance and no space was seen, twixt this turtle and his queen, but in them it were a wonder. So between them love did shine, that the turtle saw his right, flaming in the phoenix's sight, either was the other's mine. Property was thus appalled, that the self was not the same, single nature's double name, neither two nor one was called. Reason in itself confounded, saw division grow together, to themselves yet either neither, simple, were so well compounded, that it cried, how true a twain seemeth this concordant one. Love hath reason, reason none, if what parts can so remain. Whereupon it made this threen to the phoenix and the dove, co-supremes and stars of love, as chorus to their tragic scene. Threnos. Beauty, truth, and rarity, grace in all simplicity, here enclosed in cinders lie. Death is now the phoenix nest, and the turtle's loyal breast to eternity doth rest. Leaving no posterity, 'twas not their infirmity, it was married chastity. Truth may seem, but cannot be. Beauty brag, but 'tis not she. Truth and beauty buried be. To this urn let those repair that are either true or fair. For these dead birds, sigh a prayer. 1601. William Alabaster, 1567 to 1640. Upon the ensigns of Christ's crucifixion. O sweet and bitter monuments of pain, bitter to Christ who all the pain endured, but sweet to me whose death my life procured, how shall I full express such loss, such gain? My tongue shall be that my pen, mine eyes shall rain. Tears for my ink, the cross where I was cured, shall be thy book where having all abjured, and calling heavens to record in that plain, thus plainly will I write, no sin like mine. When I have done, do thou, Jesu, define, take up the tart sponge of thy passion, and blot it forth. Then be thy spirit the quill, thy blood the ink, and with compassion write thus upon my soul, thy Jesu still. Incarnatio est maximum donum Dei. Like as the fountain of all light created doth power out streams of brightness undefined, through all the conduits of transparent kind that heavens and air are both illuminated, and yet his light is not thereby abated. So God's eternal bounty ever shined, the beams of being, moving, life, sense, mind, and to all things himself communicated. But see the violent, diffusive pleasure of goodness that left not till God had spent himself by giving us himself his treasure in making man a God omnipotent. How might this goodness draw our souls above, which drew down God with such attractive love? Sir Henry Wotton, 1568 to 1639. A hymn to my God in a night of my late sickness. O thou great power, in whom I move, for whom I live, to whom I die, behold me through thy beams of love, whilst on this couch of tears I lie, and cleanse my sordid soul within, by thy Christ's blood, the bath of sin. No hallowed oils, no grains I need, no rags of saints, no purging fire. One rosy drop from David's seed was worlds of seas to quench thine ire. O precious ransom, which once paid, that consummatum est was said, and said by him that said no more, but sealed it with his sacred breath. Thou then, that hast dispunged my score, and dying wast the death of death, be to me now, on thee I call, my life, my strength, my joy, my all. On his mistress, the Queen of Bohemia. You meaner beauties of the night, that poorly satisfy our eyes, more by your number than your light, you common people of the skies, what are you when the moon shall rise? You curious chanters of the wood, that warble forth Dame Nature's lays, thinking your passions understood, by your weak accents what's your praise, when Philomel her voice shall raise? You violets that first appear, by your pure purple mantles know, like the proud virgins of the year, as if the spring were all your own, what are you when the rose is blown? So when my mistress shall be seen in form and beauty of her mind, by virtue first, then choice a queen, tell me if she were not designed the eclipse and glory of her kind. Upon the sudden restraint of the Earl of Somerset, then falling from favour. Dazzled thus with height of place, whilst our hopes our wits beguile, no man marks the narrow space, twixt a prison and a smile. Then, since fortune's favours fade, you that in her arms do sleep, learn to swim and not to wade, for the hearts of kings are deep. But if greatness be so blind as to trust in towers of air, let it be with goodness lined, that at least the fall be fair. Then, though darkened, you shall say, when friends fail and princes frown, virtue is the roughest way, but proves at night a bed of down. John Donne, 1572 to 1631. Satire of Religion. Kind pity chokes my spleen, brave scorn forbids those tears to issue which swell my eyelids. I must not laugh nor weep sins and be wise. Can railing then cure these worn maladies? Is not our mistress fair religion, as worthy of all our soul's devotion, as virtue was to the first blinded age? Are not heaven's joys as valiant to assuage lusts as earth's honour was to them? Alas, as we do them in means, shall they surpass us in the end, and shall thy father's spirit meet blind philosophers in heaven, whose merit of strict life may be imputed faith, and hear thee, whom he taught so easy ways and near to follow, damned. O, if thou darest fear this, this fear great courage and high valour is, darest thou aid mutinous Dutch, and darest thou lay thee in ships' wooden sepulchres, a prey to leaders' rage, to storms, to shot, to dearth? Darest thou dive seas and dungeons of the earth? Hast thou courageous fire to thaw the ice of frozen north discoveries, and thrice colder than salamanders, like divine children in the oven? fires of Spain and the line whose country's limericks to our bodies be, canst thou for gain bear, and must every he which cries not, goddess, to my mistress draw, or eat thy poisonous words, courage of straw? O desperate coward, wilt thou seem bold, and to thy foes and his, who made thee to stand sentinel in his world's garrison, thus yield, and for forbidden wars leave the appointed field. Know thy foes, the foul devil, whom thou strivest to please. For hate, not love, would allow thee fain his whole realm to be quit. And as the world's all parts wither away and pass, so the world's self, thy other loved foe, is in her decrepit wane. And thou, loving this, dost love a withered and worn strumpet, last flesh, itself's death, and joys which flesh can taste, thou lovest, and thy fair goodly soul, which doth give this flesh power to taste joy, thou dost loathe. Seek true religion. Oh, where? Mirius, thinking her unhoused here and fled from us, seeks her at Rome. There, because he doth know that she was there 1,000 years ago, he loves her rags so, as we here obey the state cloth where the prince sat yesterday. Krantz to such brave loves will not be enthralled, but loves her only, who at Geneva is called. Religion, plain, simple, sullen, young, contemptuous, yet unhandsome. As among lecherous humours, there is one that judges no wenches wholesome, but coarse country drudges. Graeus stays still at home here, and because some preachers, vile, ambitious boards, and laws still new like fashions, bid him think that she which dwells in us is only perfect, he embraceth her, whom his godfather's will, tender to him, being tender, as wards still, take such wives as their guardians offer, or pay valores. Careless Phrygius doth abhor, all because all cannot be good, as one knowing some women whores dares marry none. Gracious loves all as one, and thinks that so as women do in diverse countries go, in diverse habits, yet are still one kind, so doth, so is religion. And this blindness too much light breeds, but unmoved thou of force must one, and forced but one allow. And the right ask my father, which is she? Let him ask his, though truth and falsehood be. Near twins, yet truth a little elder is. Be busy to seek her, believe me this. He's not of none, nor worst, that seeks the best. To adore or scorn an image or protest, may all be bad, doubt wisely, in strange way, to stand inquiring right is not to stray, to sleep or run wrong is. On a huge hill, cragged and steep, truth stands, and he that will reach her, about must and about must go, and what the hill's suddenness resists, win so, yet strive so, that before age, death's twilight, thy soul's rest, for none can work in that night. To will implies delay, therefore now do. Hard deeds, the body's pains, hard knowledge, too. The mind's endeavours reach, and mysteries are like the sun, dazzling, yet plain to all eyes. Keep the truth which thou hast found. Men do not stand in so ill case here that God hath with his hand signed kings' blank charters to kill whom they hate. Nor are they vicars, but hangmen to fate. Fool and wretch, wilt thou let thy soul be tied to man's laws by which she shall not be tried at the last day? Oh, will it then boot thee to say a Philip or a Gregory, a Harry or a Martin taught thee this? Is not this excuse a mere contraries, equally strong? Cannot both sides say so, that thou mayest rightly obey power her bounds know? Those past her nature and name is changed, to be then humble to her is idolatry. As streams are, power is. Those blessed flowers that dwell at the rough stream's calm head thrive and do well, but having left their roots and themselves given to the stream's tyrannous rage, alas, are driven through mills and rocks and woods, and at last, almost consumed in going, in the sea are lost. So perish souls, which more choose men's unjust power from God claimed, than God himself to trust. Elegy. His picture. Here take my picture, though I bid farewell. Thine in my heart, where my soul dwells, shall dwell. 'Tis like me now, but I dead. 'Twill be more when we are shadows both than 'twas before. When weather-beaten I come back, my hand, perhaps with rude oars torn or sunbeams tanned, my face and breast of haircloth, and my head with care's rash sodden hoariness o'erspread, my body a sack of bones, broken within, and powder's blue stains scattered on my skin. If rival fools tax thee to have loved a man so foul and coarse as, oh, I may seem then, this shall say what I was, and thou shalt say, does his hurts reach me? Doth my worth decay? Or do they reach his judging mind, that he should like and love less what he did love to see? That which in him was fair and delicate was but the milk which in love's childish state did nurse it, who now is grown strong enough to feed on that which, to disused tastes, seems tough. Elegy on his mistress. By our first strange and fatal interview, by all desires which thereof did ensue, by our long sterving hopes, by that remorse which my words' masculine persuasive force begot in thee, and by the memory of hurts which spies and rivals threatened me, I calmly beg, but by thy parents' wrath, by all pains which want and divorcement hath, I conjure thee, and all these oaths which I and thou have sworn to seal joint constancy, here I unswear and overswear them thus, thou shalt not love by means so dangerous. Temper, O fair love, love's impetuous rage, be my true mistress still, not my feigned page. I'll go, and by thy kind leave behind thee, only worthy to nurse in my mind, thirst to come back. Oh, if thou die before, from other lands my soul towards thee shall soar. Thy, else almighty, beauty cannot move rage from the seas, nor thy love teach them love, nor tame wild Boreas harshness. Thou hast read how roughly he in pieces shivered fair Orithia, whom he swore he loved. Fair ill or good, 'tis madness to have proved dangers unurged. Feed on this flattery, that absent lovers one in the other be. Dissemble nothing, not a boy, nor change thy body's habit, nor mine's. Be not strange to thyself only. All will spy in thy face a blushing womanly discovering grace. Richly clothed apes are called apes, and as soon eclipsed as bright, we call the moon the moon. Men of France, changeable chameleons, spittles of diseases, shops of fashion, love's fuelers, and the rightest company of players which upon the world's stage be, will quickly know thee, and know thee, and alas, the indifferent Italian, as we pass his warm land, well content to think thee page, will haunt thee with such lust and hideous rage as Lot's fair guests were vexed. But none of these, nor spongy hydroptic Dutch, shall thee displease, if thou stay here. O stay here, for thee England is only a worthy gallery, to walk in expectation, till from thence our great king call thee into his presence. When I am gone, dream me some happiness. Nor let thy looks our long-hide love confess, nor praise, nor dispraise me, bless, nor curse, openly love's force. Nor in bed fright thy nurse with midnight startings, crying out, oh, oh, nurse, oh, my love is slain, I saw him go, o'er the white Alps alone, I saw him, I, assailed, fight, taken, stabbed, bleed, fall, and die. Augur me better chance, except dread, Jove, think it enough for me to have had thy love. Elegy to his mistress, going to bed. Come, madam, come, all rest my powers defy, until I labour, I in labour lie. The foe oft times, having the foe in sight, is tired with standing, though they never fight. Off with that girdle, like heaven's zone glistening, but a fair, fairer world encompassing. Unpin that spangled breastplate, which you wear that the eyes of busy fools may be stopped there. Unlace yourself, for that harmonious chime tells me from you that now 'tis your bedtime. Off with that happy busk, whom I envy, that still can be, and still can stand so nigh. Your gown's going off, such beauteous state, reveals as when from flowery meads the hill's shadow steals. Off with your wire coronet, and show the hairy diadem on which you doth grow. Off with those shoes, and then safely tread in this love's hallowed temple, this soft bed. In such white robes heaven's angels us to be, received by men, thou angel bringest with thee a heaven like Mahomet's paradise, and though ill spirits walk in white, we easily know by this these angels from an evil sprite. They set our hairs, but these the flesh upright. License my roving hands, and let them go behind, before, above, between, below. O my America, my new-found land, my kingdom, safeliest when with one man manned, my mern of precious stones, my emperee, how blessed am I in this discovering thee. To enter in these bonds is to be free, then where my hand is set, my seal shall be. Full nakedness, all joys are due to thee, as souls unbodied, bodies unclothed must be, to taste whole joys, gems which you women use are as Atlanta's balls cast in men's views, that when a fool's eye lighteth on a gem, his earthly soul may covet theirs, not them. Like pictures, or like books gay coverings made, for laymen are all women thus arrayed. Themselves are mystic books, which only we, whom their imputed grace will dignify, must see revealed. Then since I may know, as liberally as to a midwife show, thyself, cast all, yea, this white linen hence. Here is no penance, much less innocence. To teach thee, I am naked first. Why then, what needest thou, have more covering than a man? 1669. The calm. Our storm is past, and that storm's tyrannous rage, a stupid calm, but nothing it doth swage. The fable is inverted, and far more a block afflicts now than a stork before. Storms chafe, and soon wear out themselves, or us. In calms heaven laughs to see us languid thus. As steady as I can wish that my thoughts were, smooth as thy mistress glass or what shines there, the sea is now. And as the ills which we seek, when we can move our ships rooted be, as water did in storms, now pitch runs out, as lead when a fired church becomes one spout. And all our beauty, and our trim decays, like courts removing or like ended plays. The fighting place now seamen's rags supply, and all the tackling is a frippery. No use of lanthorns, and in one place lay feathers and dust, today and yesterday. Earth's hollowness, which the world's lungs are, have no more wind than the upper vault of air. We can nor lost friends nor sought foes recover, but, meteor-like, save that we move not, hover. Only the calenture together draws dear friends, which meet dead in great fish's jaws. And on the hatches, as on altars lies, each one his own priest and own sacrifice. Who live, that miracle do multiply, where walkers in hot ovens do not die. If in despite of these we swim, that hath no more refreshing than our brimstone bath, but from the sea into the ship we turn, like parboiled wretches on the coals to burn. Like Bajazet in cage, the shepherds scoff, or like slack-sinewed Samson, his hair off, languish our ships. Now as a myriad of ants durst the emperor's loved snake invade, the crawling galleys, sea-jails, finny chips might brave our pinnaces, now bed-rid ships. Whether a rotten state and hope of gain, or to disuse me from the queasy pain of being beloved and loving, or the thirst of honour or fair death out pushed me first, I lose my end. For here, as well as I, a desperate may live and a coward die. Stag, dog, and all which from or towards flies is paid with life or prey or doing dies. Fate grudges us all, and doth subtly lay a scourge, gainst which we all forget to pray. He that at sea prays for more wind as well, under the poles may beg cold, heat, in hell. What are we then? How little more, alas, is man now than before he was? He was nothing for us. We are for nothing fit. Chance or ourselves still disproportion it. We have no power, no will, no sense. I lie. I should not then thus feel this misery. The Flea. Mark but this thee, flea, and mark in this, how little that which thou deniest me is. Me it sucked first, and now sucks thee, and in this flea our two bloods mingled be. Confess it, this cannot be said, a sin, or shame, or loss of maidenhead. Yet this enjoys before it woo, and pampered swells with one blood made of two, and this, alas, is more than we would do. O stay, three lives in one flea spare, where we almost, nay, more than married are. This flea is you and I, and this our marriage bed and marriage temple is, though parents grudge, and you we are met and cloistered in these living walls of jet. Though use make thee apt to kill me, let not this self-murder added be, and sacrilege three sins in killing three. Cruel and sedain, hast thou since purpled thy nail in blood of innocence. In what could this flea guilty be, except that drop which it sucked from thee? Yet thou triumphst, and saidst that thou find'st not thyself, nor me the weaker now. 'Tis true, then learn how false fears be. Just so much honour, when thou yieldest to me, will waste, as this flea's death took life from thee. The Good Morrow. I wonder, by my troth, what thou and I did till we loved. Were we not weaned till then, but sucked on country pleasures childishly, or snorted we the seven sleepers' den? 'Twas so, but this, all pleasures' fancies be, If ever any beauty I did see, which I desired and got, 'twas but a dream of thee. And now good morrow to our walking souls, which watch not one another out of fear, for love, all love, of other sights controls, and makes one little room, and everywhere. Let sea discoverers to new worlds have gone, let maps to others worlds on worlds have shown. Let us possess our world, each hath one, and is one. My face in thine eye, thine in mine appears, and true plain hearts do in the faces rest. Where can we find two better hemispheres, without sharp north, without declining west? Whatever dies was not mixed equally. If our two loves be one, or thou and I, love so alike that none do slacken, none can die. Song. Go and catch a falling star. Get with child a mandrake root. Tell me where all past years are, or who cleft the divel's foot. Teach me to hear mermaids singing, or to keep off envy's stinging, and find what wind serves to advance an honest mind. If thou be'st born to strange sights, things invisible to see, ride 10,000 days and nights till age snow white hairs on thee. Thou, when thou return'st, wilt tell me all strange wonders that befell thee, and swear nowhere lives a woman true and fair. If thou findest one, let me know, such a pilgrimage were sweet. Yet do not, I would not go, though at next door we might meet. Though she were true when you met her, and last till you write your letter, yet she will be false ere I come to two or three. The Undertaking. I have done one braver thing than all the worthies did, yet a braver thence doth spring, which is to keep that hid. It were but madness now to impart the skill of specular stone, when he which can have learned the art to cut it can find none. So if I now should utter this, others, because no more such stuff to work upon there is, would love but as before. Hath he who loveliness within hath found all outward loathes, for he who colour loves and skin loves their oldest clothes. If, as I have, you also do, virtue attired in woman see, and dare love that, and say so too, and forget the he and she, and if this love, though placed so, from profane men you hide, which will no faith on this bestow, or, if they do, deride, then thou have done a braver thing than all the worthies did, and a braver thence will spring, which is to keep that hid. The Sun Rising. Busy old fool, unruly sun, why dost thou thus, through windows and through curtains, call on us? Must to thy motions lovers' seasons run? Saucy, pedantic wretch, go chide late schoolboys and sour apprentices. Go tell court huntsmen that the king will ride. Call country ants to harvest offices. Love, all alike, no season knows, nor clime, nor hours, days, months, which are the rags of time. Thy beams, so reverend and strong, why shouldst thou think I could eclipse and cloud them with a wink, but that I would not lose her sight so long? If her eyes have not blinded thine, look, and tomorrow late tell me whether both the Indias of spice and mine be where thou left'st them, or lie here with me. Ask for those kings whom thou sawest yesterday, and thou shalt hear all here in one bed lay. She is all states, and all princes, I, nothing else is. Princes do but play us, compared to this, all honours mimic, all wealth alchemy. thou son art half as happy as we, in that the world's contracted thus. Thine age asks ease, and since thy duties be to warm the world, that's done in warming us. Shine here to us, and thou art everywhere. This bed thy centre is, these walls thy sphere. The Canonization. For God's sake, hold your tongue, and let me love, or chide my palsy, or my gout, my five grey hairs, or ruined fortune flout. With wealth your state, your mind with arts improve. Take you a course, get you a place, observe his honour, or his grace, or the king's recall, or his stamped face. Contemplate what you will approve, so you will let me love. Alas, alas, who's injured by my love? What merchant's ships have my sighs drowned? Whose sighs my tears have overflowed his ground? When did my colds at forward spring remove? When did the heats which my veins fill add one man to the plague bill? Soldiers find wars, and lawyers find out still litigious men which quarrels move, though she and I do love. Call us what you will, we are made by such love. Call her one, me another fly. We are tapers, too, and at our own cost die. And we in us find the eagle and the dove. The phoenix riddle hath more wit. By us, we two, being one, are it. So to one neutral thing both sexes fit. We die and rise the same, and prove mysterious by this love. We can die by it, if not live by love. And if unfit for tombs or hearse our legend be, it will be fit for verse. And if no piece of chronicle we prove, we'll build in sonnets pretty rooms, as well a well-wrought urn becomes the greatest ashes as half-acre tombs. And by these hymns all shall approve us canonized for love. And thus invoke us, you whom reverend love made one another's hermitage, you to whom love was peace that now is rage, who did the whole world's soul extract, and drove into the glasses of your eyes, so made such mirrors and such spies, that they did all to you epitomize, countries, towns, courts, beg from above a pattern of your love. Song. Sweetest love, I do not go for weariness of thee, nor in hope the world can show a fitter love for me. But since that I must die at last, 'tis best to use myself in jest, thus by feigned deaths to die. Yesternight the sun went hence, and yet is here today. He hath no desire, nor sense, nor half so short a way. Then fear not me, but believe that I shall make speedier journeys, since I take more wings and spurs than he. Oh, how feeble is man's power, that if good fortune fall, cannot add another hour, nor a lost hour recall. But come, bad chance, and we join to it to our strength, and we teach it art and length, itself or us to advance. When thou sighest not wind, not wind, but sighest my soul away. When thou weepest, unkindly kind, my life's blood doth decay. It cannot be that thou lovest me, as thou sayest, if in thine my life thou waste, thou art the best of me. Let not thy divining heart forthink me any ill. Destiny may take thy part, and may thy fears fulfill. But think that we are but turned aside to sleep. They who another keep alive never parted be. Air and Angels. Twice or thrice had I loved thee before I knew thy face or name. So in a voice, so in a shapeless flame, angels affect us oft and worship be. Still when to where thou wert I came, some lovely glorious nothing I did see. But since my soul, whose child love is, take limbs of flesh, and else could nothing do, more subtle than the parent is, love must not be, but take a body too. And therefore what thou wert and who, I bid love ask, and now, that it assume thy body, I allow, and fix itself in thy lip, eye, and brow. Whilst thus to ballast love, I thought, and more steady to have gone, with wares which would sink admiration, I saw, I had love's pinnace overfraught. Every thy air for love to work upon is much too much, some fitter must be sought. For nor in nothing, nor in things extreme and scattering bright can love inhere. Then as an angel, face and wings of air, not pure as it yet pure doth wear, so thy love may be my love's sphere, just such disparity as is twixt air and angel's purity, twixt women's love and men's will ever be. The Anniversary. All kings and all their favourites, all glory of honours, beauties, wits, the sun itself, which makes times as they pass, is elder by a year now than it was when thou and I first one another saw. All other things to their destruction draw, only our love hath no decay. This no tomorrow hath, nor yesterday. Running it never keeps from us away, but truly keeps his first, last, everlasting day. Two graves must hide thine and my course, if one might, death were no divorce. Alas, as well other princes we, who prince enough in one another be, must leave at last in death these eyes and ears, oft fed with true oaths and with sweet salt tears, but souls where nothing dwells but love, all other thoughts being inmates, then shall prove this or a love increased there above, when bodies to their graves, souls from their graves remove. And then we shall be thoroughly blessed, but we no more than all the rest. Here upon earth we are kings, and none but we can be such kings, nor of such subjects be. Who is safe as we, where none can do treason to us, except one of us two? True and false fears let us refrain. Let us love nobly and live, and add again, years and years unto years, till we attain to writ threescore. This is the second of our reign. Twickenham Garden. Blasted with sights and surrounded with tears, hither I come to seek the spring. And at mine eyes, and at mine cares, receive such balms, or else cure everything. But O self-traitor, I do bring the spider-love which transubstantiates all, and can convert manna to gall, and that this place may thoroughly be thought true paradise, I have the serpent brought. 'Twere wholesomer for me that winter did benight the glory of this place, and that a grave frost did forbid these trees to laugh and mock me to my face. But that I may not this disgrace endure, nor leave this garden, love, let me some senseless piece of this place be. Make me a mandrake, so I may grow here, or a stone fountain weeping out my year. Hither with crystal vials, lover, come, and take my tears, which are love's wine, and try your mistress' tears at home, for all are false that taste not just like mine. Alas, hearts do not in eyes shine, nor can you more judge woman's thoughts by tears than by her shadow, what she wears. O perverse sex, where none is true but she, who's therefore true, because her truth kills me. Love's Growth. I scarce believe my love to be so pure as I had thought it was, because it doth endure vicissitude and season as the grass. Methinks I lied all winter when I swore my love was infinite, if spring make it more. But if this medicine, love, which cures all sorrow, with more not only be no quintessence, but mixed of all stuffs, paining, soul, or sense, and of the sun his working vigour borrow, loves not so pure and abstract as they used to say, which have no mistress but their muse, but as all else being elemented too, love sometimes would contemplate, sometimes do. And yet not greater, but more eminent, love by the spring is grown, as in the firmament stars by the sun are not enlarged, but shown. Gentle love deeds, as blossoms on a bough, from love's awakened root do bud out now. If, as in water stirred, more circles be, produced by one, love such additions take, those like to many spheres, but one heaven make, for they are all concentric unto thee, and though each spring do add to love new heat, as princes do in times of action get new taxes, and remit them not in peace, no winter shall abate the spring's increase.